Welcome to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefko's weekly podcast. Discover how you can transform the quality of your life. Find out simple ways to change and make that change last. Learn how to eliminate limiting beliefs. Discover how to become the person you've always wanted to be and live the life you've always wanted to live. Each week, one of the keys to change is handed to you. This is Recreate Your Life with your host, Morty Lefko.
This is podcast number 22, Morty Lefko, and our topic today, can children eliminate beliefs? I am often asked, can the Lefko belief process be used to help children eliminate beliefs? My answer is that it depends on the child. Is the child able to deal with the abstractions of the process? If the child can, then the Lefko belief process should work. One trick is to simplify some of the steps and use language that can be understood by a younger child. I did that when we did our study with incarcerated offenders, and the Lefko belief process was effective with teens as young as 14 to 15 years old. Since then, Shelley has effectively used the Lefko belief process with several children, 12 to 13 years old, who presented a wide variety of problems, including ADD and ADHD. The youngest child who was ever successful with the Lefko belief process was my daughter Blake, when she was only 6 years old. I'm going to summarize my conversation with her at that time, because you'll see how easy it can be to use the Lefko belief process with young children. By the way, you'll see from this example how easy it can be to use the process with adults, when you know the belief and the source of the belief. On many occasions, Shelley and I had taken Blake to fairs and shows where there were hundreds of people, and she usually enjoyed herself at these events. One Saturday, we took her to a school that was having games, face painting, and a lot of other activities for kids. We had been inside only a few minutes when Blake screamed and exclaimed, "I'm scared. I want to leave." "What's wrong?" we asked her. "I don't know. I'm just scared. I want to leave," she repeated. We tried to find out what was scaring her, but she didn't know. The closest she could come to an answer was that there were a lot of people there. I reminded her that she had never been afraid of crowds before. What was it about this crowd that was so scary? She didn't know. When we realized that the fear wasn't going away, we left. When we got home, I sat down with Blake and asked, "Do you remember that Mommy and Daddy talk about the work we do with people in our sessions, how we help them with things that bother them in their lives?" "Yes." "Would you like me to help you try to figure out what's scaring you? You've never been scared of crowds before." "Okay," she said solemnly. I started to help her identify the belief. Blake named it almost immediately. Crowds are dangerous. "Okay, what happened that gave you that idea?" She didn't pause even for a minute. "Remember when we went to the Italian street fair? Remember the lady who burned me with the cigarette?" I certainly did remember. The fair had been mobbed. We could barely walk. We had been there for only a few minutes when Blake had screamed in pain. A woman had walked by her, swinging a lighted cigarette in her hand, and had hit Blake's arm with it. The woman then turned around, yelled at Blake, "Watch where you're going," and then walked away. Fortunately, the burn wasn't bad, and we had stayed for another couple of hours. "So did you decide crowds are dangerous based on your experience at that fair?" I asked her. "Yes." "I can see why you decided that. It made a lot of sense to conclude that. A lot of people would have said the same thing, honey. Now we're going to play a little game. What else could explain what happened to you other than what you said? It really could be that crowds are dangerous, but what else could explain what happened?" She wasn't sure what I meant. So I said, "Well, for example, that fair was dangerous, but maybe not all other fairs will be dangerous." She got into the spirit of the game. I give one interpretation, then she gave another. "People who are not careful with lighted cigarettes are dangerous, not crowds. People carrying lighted cigarettes can hurt me. People without cigarettes won't. That person wasn't careful with their cigarette, but most people would be. I'll get hurt at some crowded places, not others. The crowd at that fair was dangerous. Other crowds wouldn't be. I'll get hurt at fairs, but not other crowded places." Blake was having fun with the alternative interpretations part of the Lefko belief process. "Okay, honey," I said. Can you see that it made sense for you to conclude when you got burned that crowds are dangerous, but there's a lot of other explanations for what happened? She understood what I was saying. She nodded. I looked directly into her eyes and asked, didn't it seem at the fair, right after you got burned, that you saw right in front of you that crowds are dangerous and that you'll get hurt? Yeah, that's what I saw. Is it clear now, honey, that you didn't see that? You only imagined that? You did see one woman burn you, but you never saw with your eyes that all crowds are dangerous, did you? I know what you mean, Daddy. I didn't see it. I only thought it. I had hoped the Lefko belief process would work with Blake, but despite her ability to deal with abstractions that she had shown in many conversations we had had previously, I still wasn't sure she'd be able to do the process. But she had. This was the first time I had worked with a really young child, and she had used the Lefko belief process to eliminate a belief that could have negatively impacted the rest of her life. I was really excited about the possibilities, but first I had to finish with Blake. Do you still believe that crowds are dangerous? No, she said, smiling. Could you imagine being in a crowd that wasn't dangerous? Yes, I could, Daddy. P.S. The next time we went to a fair, Blake experienced no fear and had a great time. Using the Lefko belief process with children won't always work, but you have nothing to lose if you try. And if you succeed, you'll be saving the child from a lifetime of fear, anxiety, etc. Please comment on my blog, MortyLefko.com, if you have any comments on this post of you about using the Lefko belief process with children. And if you haven't eliminated at least one of your limiting self-esteem beliefs yet using the Lefko belief process, please go to recreateyourlife.com where you can eliminate one limiting belief for free. And finally, to purchase a DVD program that I guarantee to help you significantly improve your confidence and also eliminate the major day-to-day problems that most people face, check out recreateyourlife.com/naturalconfidence. This is Morty Lefko signing off with podcast number 22. Until next week, have a great week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefko's podcast. Subscribe at iTunes or sign up at MortyLefko.com to receive each week's podcast, where you can leave comments about these podcasts. To eliminate one limiting belief free, go to RecreateYourLifeFree.com. And to have your questions answered about how to live your best life, join us on our Facebook page, Recreate Your Life.